This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd is singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Another edition of the High Hopes Pod. Wasn't really sure where to go with the yo on that one, Fritz. It's like, you know, 2 out of 3, I'll take it. Thought they were going to win the last one. They didn't. It's all good. By the way, presented by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller Time Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy, how you doing, pal?
We really should have recorded at 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. That would have been that would have been a fun pod.
That would have been thrilling. Yeah. I was there. I was there for it. I was ready.
Yeah, I woke up right on time. I woke up, you know, to the post game show. So it was awesome. Yeah, I don't know. Like they're just a damn good baseball team. I think if we could just sum up the podcast and do it in about 5 minutes. They're just a damn good team. Like they are just a team that is showing up, taking care of business. They're fighting back when we want them to fight back. They could have lost Saturday. You know, they could have just rolled over. They could have rolled over yesterday. You know, they were down 3-0 yesterday. And by the way, it seems like that mound really is a disaster. Every single starter.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Everyone complained about it. Yeah, and like, you know, so for people that are like, oh, it's an excuse. Well, somewhat, but also like a hard mound. What they're complaining about is it feels like you're slipping, and if you can't get traction on the mound and you feel like you're slipping, you're like hesitant to, you know, like if you don't know if you're gonna land, if your foot's gonna move. And I think that's actually the thing that happened with Romano. Was that Friday night where? Yeah. Slash Saturday morning, I get it.
Yes,
but I think he just could not find a footing, and that's why I think he went down to 93 all of a sudden. And you know, I don't think we'd make a huge deal out of the mound if it wasn't Wheeler didn't look the same, Sanchez didn't look the same, and Lizardo at the beginning of the game didn't look the same.
They all commented on it too. Was like, I mean, Wheeler was like, he sounded like angry. The guy threw 6 shutout, and he's like, "This was horrible. I hate it here." You know, so yeah, it seemed like it was a real thing. Before we get any deeper, May 31st, we're less
look
than a
you.
Week away.
Look at you!
It's coming up this Saturday. We got to do this. May 31st, come hang out with us. We're going to see the Red and Phils play. Aiden Miller is going to be playing. He's going to come say hi, hang out. We're going to meet and greet before. Fritz and I are throwing out the first pitch. It's going to be insane. It's going to be awesome. You have to come out with us May 31st. Check out Twitter accounts for a link to tickets. It's going to be so much fun, dude. We had a blast in Wilmington. This is going to be even better.
Yeah, tickets are flying fast. So they opened up another section for us. So hopefully.
I'd love to hear. I mean, if nothing else, just see me and Fritz throw first pitch. It'd be worth a lot. You just leave after and you're good.
Yeah, you make fun of us and then head on
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
As always, we want to take over a stadium. So let's take over a beautiful baseball town. I haven't seen a game. Again, we talked about this last podcast, but that was also I was kind of working, so I didn't really get to hang out. I probably haven't been there since like the early real go to the game, like early 2000s. So
been a long time for me too.
I think it's an unbelievable park, and it's like it's so minor league baseball. It's the perfect minor league baseball stadium. There's the random pool in right field. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's like watching a game in Sacramento. All right. One quick question. Then we'll get back to the Phils because we won't belabor it, but please seriously, like this is as much as, you know, we'll do a High Hopes night at the ballpark. I'm sure at some part this season and we've got our nights out and stuff. But of all the things we did last year, at least in my mind, the Wilmington trip was the coolest. It was the most memorable. It was the most fun we had. It was the most special, the roll call, the whole thing. I think, like I said, this was going to be better. I think if you're going to go to one High Hopes thing this year, go to this. I think it's going to be super fun. So coming out with us, one question then to the Phils, who has more pressure on them for the first pitch? Because obviously, I mean, you're just a way better, you're a pitcher, right? You know, so you, mm-hmm. you are going in with, you know, a less likely poor outcome. So in a way, you know, you're just a higher level. So less stress there, but also, right. I mean, as long as I don't bounce the ball, I'm kind of yeah. fine. Like I don't need to, you know, fire a strike right in there. You know, more so do. Who do you think has more pressure? Right. I've been thinking about this a lot.
So it's always me. It's
I think it is too. I didn't want to yeah. like just shirk it from myself, but I think it is you. I agree. I have yeah. I think I have a pretty like low floor. Like it could go bad for me. I don't expect to, but I'm saying it could. But you, it's the worst case scenario is you.
Well, here's what I need to figure out. Am I getting a mascot or am I getting a player? If I get a mascot, we'll probably lob it up in there. But if we're going,
look,
if
I'll
we're
take
going
the
player,
mascot. If there's one of each, I'll take the mascot. Trust me. Don't worry.
Hold on. I haven't worked this out. But, I mean, can we get Aiden to catch the first pitch? Come on. Come on. Just people helping people. We've got a bunch of ideas.
And then, so here's, can I just, you know, come with me here for a moment, get into my head. First pitch to Aiden 20 years down the road on the steps of Coopertown, you know, Aiden throws a pitch to you someday. And then, you know, if you have a speech to lead him in, you know, Aiden and me, I'm just saying like the pageantry of it, the poetry of it. I mean, I'm just saying, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the start. And then obviously there's extra pressure because eventually we have to throw out a first pitch at CBP. Mm. And if it's a disaster up in Reading, they're going to hear about it. Yeah. And word's going to get back and they're going to say, not allowed on our field. So I might go have a catch today. I'm trying to have a catch today. I rolled out of bed this morning. So I couldn't sleep for some reason. So I was up at like 5 because this is where I don't understand you at all, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you don't work, you are able to just sleep. Which is interesting because you would think with your body clock that it would still get you up at 4 or whatever. So yes. I thankfully went to bed at like 10 last night because the Phils were done and Walker was asleep. And my body was just like, yeah, you're up at 5. You're going to do it. So I went out and got 3 miles in.
It's fun. No, good job. And I too am soliciting a catch partner. Shout out to neighbor Tommy who said he would help me out and go throw the ball.
I'm sure he would. If there's ever anyone that is in
I was like, who can I have a catch? And I was like, oh, I don't even need to think about it. I'll just text Tommy. But I was like, I probably shouldn't go years without throwing a baseball before I throw one. And now I totally forgot what I was going to say.
Rain in the ums, pal.
This is the point. This is why it works with my thing. I know, and that's why. Here's why I can do that is because when you're on my schedule, you are just so constantly tired at all times that anytime you're in a bed, it could just go. If you don't have an alarm, you could just sleep through things. I will say to your point, it is harder for me to sleep later on Saturday than on Sunday, or in this case, Monday. Saturday after doing the Friday thing and being on the schedule, I can't sleep as late. But once I get the one day of kind of pushing it back a bit, Sunday, I'm pretty good.
This was a mistake. All right.
Don't come into my freaking octagon and start throwing stuff around.
I'm out. All right. Let's get it back to the Phils.
All right. So 2-3, we'll take it. Obviously frustrating.
But
when you win 9 straight, it's hard to complain too much. But when you looked at, look, Saturday night was an all-timer. I mean, as far as a game in Sacramento against the A's can be an all-timer, but in terms of a fun baseball game, the Kepler homer, the way they fought back, the Marsh play at the plate, probably, you know, if you had to pick one play this season that you kind of, you know, think about, it's probably the most exciting defensive play of the season so far and was such a big moment. And just kind of a fun series, you know, 4-0 on Friday, then Romano gives it back. But they still close it out. And to your point yesterday, very easily at the end of a long West Coast or not a long West Coast trip, but, you know, 7 days out there, 8 days out there doing the Colorado, Sacramento thing, playing on this kind of, you know, low budget field and all that. they could have just walked home yesterday. They could have been like, eh, you know what? Take the A's are what a 10-game losing streak at that point, desperate for a win. It could have been I'm with you. I'm not going to give them all the credit in the world for losing a game to the A's, but I did like the way they fought. Really, the whole trip in Colorado, they handled business. In Sacramento, they played tight games but handled their business. It was just, it was a good trip.
Well, and like I know they had lost 10 straight, and it's obviously not great. I don't think the A's are a disaster, though. I mean, obviously the Rockies are a disaster, but dude, is there ever a player more Philadelphia than Jacob Wilson? Just see this.
The stance from the stance on up, every little bit of it. He's like Tim Tuffle up there with the Tuffle Shuffle back in the day. Is that even before your time? I think
I have no idea who that is.
Okay, so Tim Tuffle was on those 80s Mets teams, and he was their bench guy. He was there, but he used to, when he came up, he used to do this little like butt wiggle thing, and it was called the Tuffle Shuffle. So
a little different than the Soto Shuffle.
A little different. Jacob Wilson has that thing where he's just constantly kind of moving and going, and the feet are moving. He's wild to watch, but he just hits it every time.
I know. I think, and that's Jacob Wilson, along with Andrew Painter. I would say those two are the two headliners. My biggest like draft misses. I couldn't stand Jacob Wilson. Like I was so nervous about the Phillies taking him. Well, not really, because they weren't going to take a short, just slap hitting shortstop from Grand Canyon University. You know, we go for upside.
Only. You mean the next Tony Gwynn, Jack? Yes, right.
Yeah. So big old swing and a miss on Jacob Wilson, but whatever. They weren't taking him anyway. He actually just reminds me of Polanco. Sure. He's got a little Polanco to him. Can't you just imagine the calls in a WIP where it's just you see that he puts the bat on the baseball, hits it the opposite way, a little bit of power. Now he is legitimately great. Nick Kurt's kid's gonna be nasty, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, Sonderstrom. I mean, they got dudes. They got some guys.
There's a bunch of first rounders.
Lawrence Butler is some pedigree. Like they have some
love
real,
Lawrence Butler.
Yeah, I mean Rooker. Obviously, I texted you on Saturday night where we don't play them enough. But Brent Rooker is like sneaky Phillies killer status guy already. It feels like.
Well, he did hit.
He's never won the guy. I mean, that game. Oh, that one homer. I mean, both were huge. That one. He hit it to Ashford Alley. The guy hit it to freaking Ashford Alley. It was nuts.
I think he had two baseballs travel over 700 feet that day off of poor Michael Mercado. Poor Michael Mercado. But yes,
he dealt in Chicago, just came out and dealt. Everyone's like, Mercado.
Yep, we're ready to have T-shirts of the Mercado Club.
Tyler Phillips, but we had a few of those where we're like, look at that guy.
I know, interesting. And that's where Abel's so refreshing because he actually has stuff. So that's like multiple pitches rather than just one pitch. But yeah, so I don't think the A's are like a super pushover. I think they're going to be good here in a little bit. Kurtz, by the way, we're going to count him as a high hopes guy. He's
local
a group
guy,
of Phillies fan. Yeah. Well, so Lancaster counts when it's in relation to being a Phillies fan, of course.
I feel like we can extend a little further than just,
So I don't think they're Rockies territory. Now they are, the bullpens weren't exactly the strongest out of the A's and the 29th in baseball. So listen, I think
bad during their losing streak. They were flashing those stats each game where it was like an 11 ERA or whatever from their bullpen over the last 10, 11 games or whatever. That's, it's hard to win games. We know what that's like. Yeah.
So they're facing a desperate team, which I think is, it's sometimes tough to go against when you're not, the Phillies aren't in a mind. I think their mindset is to win every game, but they're not like stressing right now. They're kind of just going out business-like, taking care of it and trying to get home. So I just think that the way that they didn't roll over. I think they're doing a lot of the little things right. And it's been, you know, with the runner on third base with less than two outs, they're doing a pretty good job of getting him home. They've also done a much better job with two outs in runner scoring position. You know, the game on Saturday when Bryce just took a single up the middle, and get the game tied. Trey yesterday before the home run late, You know, he had just a single up the middle. Now, I have no idea why the A's were playing infield in that situation. It was hilarious.
When he hit the ball, I didn't, because obviously on TV you can't, you know, unless the announcers mention that the infield's in, you don't always get that view of it. And Trey hit up the middle, and I was like, oh, maybe that'll get through. And they pan back, and it's like past the infield already. I was like, what just happened there? Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I think they're doing, I think the most encouraging part about how they're currently playing, we've talked about this, you know,
the
a little bit, but they're just taking what's there. They're not trying to do too much. Like when they want to try to hit a home run, they usually do it early in counts, but they really are grinding out some at bats. And that's mostly 1-4. It's really just the Stars, you know, and Stotts in there as well. And Bohm's obviously doing a good job.
Yeah, credit.
But I think that's the encouraging part about where they're at is it's not always home run or bust. You know, I think they're 20th in home run rate this year. It's not like they're just a team that's trying to launch baseballs. I think they're playing the game in a really good way. And that's the thing that I probably have been the toughest on with them the last couple of years when they would lose is that they're just not playing a winning brand of baseball. That the talent would take over at some point and they would beat some teams. But I think for arguably the first time in this core's time here, like they're playing the game right. And I think that's just exciting. I think that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, 20th in home run rate when you have the league leader on home runs is particularly astounding only 2 months into the season. I mean, that's pretty crazy. And it passed. It's like the eye test. I'm with you. And look, we've done the whole so many times. I'm sure we'll continue to, and we get tired of it, but it's unavoidable that wake me up in the playoffs. Let's see if they come through and if they don't chase and if they don't do the same thing they did the last two playoffs when it matters most. And that's absolutely true. There's no comeback to that other than, yeah, let's see. You know, I hope so.
Yeah.
But if we're going to pay attention to the season on the way to that, this is all you could ask for to hope that it could be different. You know, why will it be different this October? We're seeing why it could be. Now, again, they have to do it. They have to get there and maintain this. They have to be consistent. They have to not fall back into old habits, especially when guys are struggling and trying to find answers. You know, we know that baseball's a long season and there can be ups and downs and teams can go in and out of it. But the fact that they're doing this and doing this so successfully, you hope that they can recreate it when it matters most in the playoffs. And this is what they were missing. The ability for when they're not hitting home runs. And by the way, you know, hate to say it, but it's still usually the team that hits the most home runs in the playoffs usually ends up winning. So you do need that in your tool bag, but to also maybe feel confident at both as fans, but the team that they believe they can go out there and spray the ball around the field and they know how to spray the ball around the field and pass the baton and take pitches when they have to. They have those reps of doing that together and the success that comes from it. I just think that, again, I know they have to do it in the playoffs, but this is as good a sign that things might be different this year that you could ask for on May 26th, in my opinion.
Well, and I think that they're only going to get, I think there's a chance they could get even better. And I think what,
yeah, they can start hitting home runs and still do this. Like you're allowed to do both. You know, it's you can.
Yeah. Well, and I think that the thing that is also so encouraging and what I think is going to eventually keep playing itself out in a really positive way is you're starting to see the Bryce Schwarber 3-4 thing just starting to get comfortable with it. And Bryce is, I think, starting to see more pitches. You're seeing his average creep up. And the biggest thing is that, you know, I might have mentioned this last podcast, I forget, but when we're talking about pass the baton and buying in, and the fact that I think Bryce has bought in, but he's buying in partially because he has a guy that's leading the league in home runs hitting behind him. Not, and this is not a shot at Bomer, but like it's not Alec Bohm hitting behind him or Castellanos when he's going through it. It's a real cleanup hitter to where he can get more pitches. He feels comfortable not having to play hero ball all the time and trying to launch and feel like he has to wear the Superman cape. He can just say, I'll take my base. I'll take my little single to left field. I'll hit my single up the middle. When I want to launch, I'll try to launch, or I'll just take a walk because I have a guy behind me who is on an absolute freaking heater. Could be the National League MVP. I mean, he's going to be in the mix for it, at least the top five.
I think right now it's him or Pete Crow Armstrong, who'd have thunk it 2 months into the season. But I think they're the two, like, stat-wise.
Otani.
Otani, I'm sorry. Otani, always there. He's just part of it.
It's why I don't bet the National League MVP. It's a waste of time.
Pitching again and all, whatever. But outside of Otani, I mean, Pete Crow Armstrong and Kyle Schwarber have been the two most valuable players on contending teams in the National League this year. It's crazy.
It's awesome. That's
awesome. It's awesome.
He's the man, dude. And I thought it was actually such a heads up play. He kept running when he ran into the first.
Unbelievable. It was one of the most heads up plays.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All year, I think. I mean, it was just you watch it, you're like, dude, that's a baseball player right there, man.
Yep. And I think Gelb wrote this, and he said that happened in a game in 2022, and he just remembered it in the middle of running, I guess, which is awesome, which is high level stuff. So yeah, I didn't expect to be where I'm at with them. Like, obviously, I'm pretty damn good at talking myself into the Phillies. Like, it's some would say the best, but I think if you, the only way you're still not buying it is if you're just skeptical about everything, and you can do the whole wake me in October thing. But again, everything that you, like you said, everything we could have wanted to see from them, they're really showing it. And I think it's really just, they're scratching the surface. They obviously have to figure out the bullpen. I mean, it's going to be tough sledding until mid July. And David Robertson apparently wants a lot of money, which is, $15 million.
Come on,
Dave.
Come
on, that, you man. Know what that is? That is, I'm 40.
Yep.
And if you really want me, like, I'll do it.
Listen, I'm fine sitting on my couch. I'm actually at that point where I'm retired. Like, I'm cool, guys. But you know what? If you want to pull me off that couch, it's going to cost you. Like, that's basically what he's saying.
Yeah, it's all time. What?
I don't blame him, you know, it's annoying, but no. I don't blame him, you know, good for you, dude. If there's leverage there, if you can make, again, this is probably the last contract he'll ever make. Make every cent you can, pal. I get it, you know?
Well, you know what I would do if I was, I would go up to this goes up the flagpole to Middleton. You know what I would do if I was John Middleton? I would show him the first contract I gave him and say, you owe us. Because the first contract was a disaster.
You were hurt. You didn't play. Come on.
Dude, David Robertson had never been hurt his entire career until his first three games of Philly.
Unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Yeah. And then it stinks here when he does pitch, leaves. He's like 2 ERA guy everywhere else. It's like, yeah. Of course.
Come on, man. He closed out game one of the World Series in 2022.
You're right.
Dude, so it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day. It's so wild that we're almost pretty far removed from like the doldrums of Phillies baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, it's 2025.
I know.
Those teams were
joke about the 2026 Phillies in the doldrums. When we were in the doldrums, the bit was, don't worry, in 2026 it's going to be awesome. And it's 2025 now, and they've been really good years for a few years now. It's crazy.
Yeah. I was watching that. So to address the elephant in the room, because everyone's talking about it, everyone's thinking about it.
I wasn't going to do it because I am understanding, and I'm a good teammate and a friend, and I don't care. It's all good. I don't question you. You're the most dedicated I know. I would never question you. So I just want that out there. I wasn't going to do this. Okay, just saying.
Yeah. So to address the elephant in the room, the back of my eyelid saw the Marsh throw, saw the game of the year. I mean. So they didn't miss a beat.
I was texting you, and we were texting actually throughout the game for a while. Uh-huh. And like sometime after, I guess like the eighth inning or somewhere in there.
No, I dozed off after the Kepler home run.
Whatever it was, you just stopped responding. I think, yeah, you're right, because I sent Kepler all caps, and then that was the last one I got. And then there's like an MVP text in there. There's a mark. Like I had all these texts, and I know it's like six in a row, and I was like, uh-oh.
Yep. And here's the mistake I made. And I got cocky. I'm just going to be completely honest. I got totally cocky in my ability because I did so well on Friday night. Like Friday, I was still pretty jazzed, frankly, when they won. I wasn't. Yeah, you know, it helped that Romano raised the heart level or heartbeat level in the ninth.
It's the most Phillies reliever thing ever to, we're finally in on this guy. This guy's good. Oh. I'm going to go out and give up a 3-run homer and almost blow a game. It's like the most Phillies thing of all time.
Well, we're blaming the mound on that one. We're blaming the mound. But so I got cocky. I was like, I'm good. I'm fine. And I made the mistake and I put my feet up on the couch and laid down. Mm. And I mean, within 5 minutes, it was over. So that's on me. But I was thinking Saturday morning while I rewatched it, once I bullied Walker out of watching poo and said, hey, I got stuff to do.
This is more important than a kid.
Yeah, every
put your
morning,
pants
every
on. You're not Woody the Pooh. All right, yeah.
Every morning it's poo. But so I was watching them and like the Marsh play and the Schwarber double and again it just hit me of if this like they've gotten back to they need to win a title. Like these guys I want them to go down as legends here, and I don't want them. Now, I think that they've won enough. I think that there's been enough moments. We're not going to look. Well, we might have looked back on this era and just say, "Wow, that was a frustrating era." Like I don't think it's been super frustrating. But you said it last podcast. They're very early 2000s Eagles-ish, where we love these guys. We still love those early 2000s Eagles. I mean,
think about the 93 Phils. They were the worst team in baseball in 92, had this run in 93, and that group was never good again. You know, the strike in 94, and then it was just never the same. And we love that team. We love that team so much still. And even as some of the team has maybe not aged great in terms of being likable and all that, like, you know, but we still love that group because – to your point there, Jack, you know, we don't have enough championships here to be picky with loving our teams that give us great eras of just runs. You know, it's really true. So, yeah, I think that especially down the road as time, whatever happens, no matter how this plays out, they obviously have a chance to be true legends forever. But I think that, you know, in 20 years, we'll look back fondly on the memories and the time. But I think that with how close they've gotten, the messaging, the mentality, Middleton's mentality, the whole thing, you know, how badly they want it. I do think that no matter how fond we are of the group in time, if they don't win it, like there will always be that missed opportunity, should have won thing there, you know?
Yeah. Because I remember beginning the season, it's like, I'm just tired of this group. Like I'm just tired of seeing. I know.
A month into the season, you know,
And it's like I know what they are. I know what they are. I know what they are, and they're really changing that. Like they're changing that, and that's I think what has been the most exciting. It is that I think they've changed a lot of the. This is who you guys are. Like a guy called the final out the other night, and I'm starting to get a little bit quicker with the hangups because I don't feel love like dealing
it.
With it.
Love it.
But,
love it.
But he called and he's like, yeah, this team already, we know who they are. It's already been written. All they try to do is hit home runs. And I said, they don't. Like you're just not watching. If that's how you feel, like you're just not watching it. So I think they're really doing a good job of currently changing the narrative around them. And I'm just ready for that. I'm already ready for October, of course.
Yeah, buddy.
Very ready for October. I'm actually very ready for the trade deadline. I can't wait for the trade deadline.
Well, it's the biggest one. I mean, we've wanted
ever to be, like, in the history.
It's up there in the history of the franchise. Like, they haven't had that many that have mattered. Like, you know, seriously. I mean, how many, you know, they've only been competitive, you know, for like a 10% of their seasons or whatever it is, you know?
No, I know. But I always, like, I feel like every election, they're like, this is the most important election of our lives.
Oh,
and course. Then, yeah. And so the trade deadline, this is the most important trade deadline we've ever seen in our entire history.
I think for Dombrowski, though, I do think legacy-wise, it's so big for him because it's really the one thing that he has failed at. You know, you could quibble with building the roster, this move instead of that move, or, you know, signing Familia and that didn't work. And, you know, he had things, right? But on the most part, he came in and took over a team that, you know, hadn't made the playoffs in a decade. And we've made the playoffs 3 years in a row. We're probably going to make it the 4 years in a row. They're set up pretty well. You know, we all the behind the you know, all the infrastructure, building, Preston Manning, Brian Barber, all these great people he's brought in, all the stuff. He's done a really good job. He's made it a professional organization. But if you can point to, like, one glaring, you know, siren, red, flashing light mark, you know, negative mark on Dave Dombrowski's residency as the Phillies president of baseball operations, Jack, it is disastrous trade deadlines, both not trying hard enough in certain cases and the moves he's made have all been, I mean, Brandon Marsh is the best trade he's made and, like, wasn't a good one. I mean, we are not a deadline move. I mean, Sosa was a good trade. But, like, so I think that's the one thing where for Dombrowski especially, it really is, you know, a potential legacy maker, obviously, in terms of winning and all that, too.
Yeah, well, and what's so funny is that he's still kind of that. I don't want to trade Aiden, Andrew Painter, Tyeet, Arun Escobar. I probably still would trade Crawford, but regardless, like, those four, like, they're still, I don't want to move those guys. I don't want to move those guys. And I think they're really important to the future of the team. So I think the nice part about where he's at at this deadline is there is some interesting movable parts. I mean, Abel from the standpoint of pitching the way he has, by the way, shoved again over the weekend. Yeah. I think he went six innings, struck out eight up in Lehigh Valley. Deepest pigs team of our lives. Everyone's talking about it. But with what Abel's done and bouncing back from looking like a non-prospect to looking like a really interesting, like, to put it this way, Abel right now gives him a better chance to win than Andrew Painter if they wanted to do that, which is crazy. Like, that shows how, in my opinion, how good he's gotten so fast. Like, Mick Abel is turning into a real interesting piece, but I also think that he can be traded. Like, I think you can trade Mick Abel. And the most fascinating part about what he has to decide at the trade deadline is, does Mick Abel help me more at this bullpen? Like, could they put Mick Abel in the pen? I think they could. I think that's going to be a decision for after the trade deadline. There's no reason to do it right now because you want to continue to build his value up. Now, the argument could be made, I don't care about his trade value. I want to get him up here as fast as possible. If that's in the bullpen, that's in the bullpen. I hear that. I don't think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to start him in AAA for as long as they can. If the team's like, okay, we'll add him as one of the centerpieces to a deal to help add a difference maker in the bullpen. But at the same time, I don't know if I'm, like, giddy to get rid of a 23-year-old with his stuff that I think could play in the bullpen this year and then could start going forward. But in the conversation of having pieces to move at the trade deadline that aren't those top four, I think they have a more interesting players than they've had in years past. Now, Clawson was really interesting last year, and he was traded. You know, Ben Brown and Ohapi, I know. But, like, I just think there's more – now, Kemp's 26. I don't know how much his trade value is going to be. But, you know, you have Rincones, you have Crawford, you have Abel, you have some of the younger kids that they have. So I think he has some at his disposal to where you can get something. But he's also kind of stuck because – you don't want to give up those top four because the core is getting older. And I think they do and are concerned about extending this window and making sure it stays open as long as possible. So I agree with you. It's a big trade deadline from that standpoint. But also, I'm sort of with them where I don't want to give up the big pieces to go out and get whatever's on the market. And the other interesting part is I don't know who's going to be in the market. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Like, there might not be that guy. I mean, Felix Bautista probably moved. We'll see what happens with Helsley. The Cardinals keep winning games. Pete Fairbanks, maybe. He's interesting. Obviously, Mason Miller. We got to give up the farm for Mason Miller. So I don't know. It's a delicate balance, I think, that Dombrowski is currently trying to walk. And it's more nuanced than, you know, good, bad, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It really is. And, you know, to that point about who's going to be available, it's also how the market shakes out. If there's 10 teams looking for relievers and two teams that have them, that, you know, guys who are really good who want to move them, all of a sudden those guys will go for more than they're worth. And that's the balance that we saw that partially at the trade deadline last year, where guys, it felt like we're going for more than they should have been and all that type of stuff. So that's a part of the factor, or, you know, the situation, the equation as well. And look, in a large, you know, big picture sense, I am appreciative in a way that Dave Dombrowski hasn't come in here and said, I'm going to burn this to the ground to win another championship. You know, right? You know, mm-hmm. I want to win my fourth. I want to win. I'm 70 years old or 68 years old or 66 or whatever. You know, I'm here to win. And instead, he's come here and really, and I do think John Middleton deserves credit for this too, because I think that's a Middleton directive that is, you know, a tandem between him and Dombrowski. I do think Middleton, after the decade of you know, in the wilderness, that he has made a concerted effort to care about drafting, developing, and hanging on to those guys and having bridge and all that type of stuff. But I do think that, you know, Dave Dombrowski could push Middleton this and that. He hasn't. He's come in here mm-hmm. and said, we're going to build a farm system. We're going to build a structure. We're going to build a development team. We're going to do all this stuff. And I'm not just going to poach it every second I can get to make the major league team better, even though the major league team has a chance to win. So while part of me is frustrated, you know, go win. I want to win. I want to win. I also, especially what we were expecting Dombrowski to be, what the, you know, Dave Dombrowski thing was coming in, part of me does really appreciate that he has gone about his business in a different way, even if maybe we're not getting what we want as much in the moment, you know, in the trade deadline be at the moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, it's going to be really interesting. And what's so funny, you know, we're talking about keeping the window open and keeping the window open, and hopefully they can squeak out a championship in the middle while keeping the window open. That'd be fun. Mm-hmm. I've almost forgotten the bad times so much that I can't even envision. And this is bad. This is totally a bad feeling. I can't envision being back in the 70s and '60s win, like the win totals, like type of seasons. This is much better. I think they're in a really good spot organizationally, and I think they're only continuing to get better. It's so hard to envision them being in the 70 win total in the next couple of years. Now, maybe like the prospects don't pan out and all the guys get old and bang, you're right there. But I don't know. It's just, I also, they're probably could spend their way out of it if they wanted to. It's just part of the theme in Ring the Bell, the book, of course, who could forget, is before certain series, you know, whether it was the Giant series in 10 or a couple of the games in 11 or 09, I wrote at sometimes I wish I was like the Paul Revere of Phillies fans, where it's like I was running down the streets of Philadelphia saying the Giants are coming, you know, like stop getting cocky. And I feel like I need to do that on myself right now and say, don't get cocky.
Hey, they're not going to be good forever. Series, you know, like let's not. Oh yeah, you're remember the Jeremy Hellickson opening day starts. That's what you should be remembering.
Yeah, Cedric Hunter in left field.
Remember the 2020 bullpen, Jack. Remember those days.
I know.
Remember, no matter who was exiting that bullpen door when it opened, the feeling of like deflation as we see someone running. The JT meme, the Jared Hughes meme. Just that was all of us every time someone ran from the bullpen. So yeah, I'm with you, Jack. Now it's like, oh, we got bullpen problems on the best record in baseball. It's like, yeah, we need some bullpen arms, but like we had bullpen problems, like real problems.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Blake Parker, all those guys. Oh yeah, it's so good.
Ramon Rosso the guy who threw Mike Morin. I was gonna say guy who threw 69.
Mike Morin. Yeah. Dude, they had no one that threw over 95. It was infuriating. I missed that.
It felt like there was a time where they had no one who threw over 90. Like, it felt like a bunch of guys would come in and ooh, he's pumping it in there at 88 today. Wow, he's really feeling it. What are we doing here?
Well, there's a stretch there where Adam Morgan was the only lefty starter they started for like 2 years.
Dude, I mean, we toughed ourselves. We had Adam Morgan moments where, new Andrew Miller.
I loved Adam Morgan. I loved that. But see, that dumb stuff is what this podcast is built on.
Yeah,
and I miss it.
I mean, this pod is absolutely built on the bad times, not the good times. There's no doubt about that. And we thrive in those times. All right, yep. One more thing before we get to the take back, because I've been meaning to say it, and I'm sure we'll say it many times, and we'll go back and forth on it and all that. But, we've talked a lot about how they're playing, and you can just wait till playoffs if you want, or you can appreciate what you're watching on a night-to-night basis and be happy that they're playing the game a certain way. And we didn't mention his name, but I think that the person who's most, the biggest example of this, the guy who exemplifies it the most, has been Trey Turner, and he just continues to do it. He is playing baseball the way we wanted to see Trey Turner play baseball. He's running. He's slapping the ball over the field. The power is starting to come a little more. Another leadoff homer on Saturday, had the big hit late to get him back into it. He is just...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
He's really, it feels like every time I look up, he's on first base stealing second, or he's got a double, or, it's been really fun to watch this guy that I hoped I would see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I hope everyone's ready to apologize. I hope he stinks. Whatever. He's a bum.
Apologize.
Get rid of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope you are happy.
Needed to be better. But you know what? The credit we're due. Thank you, Trey.
No, I think this is the Trey that we thought we were signing. Now, again, I would never call out a coworker. Would never do that. Mm. Not my style.
Not your style.
But
no.
I mean, can Broads lock in a little bit?
Oh,
I mean,
there we go. I didn't know which way I was going. Is it ESP? Is it John Johnson? Is it this? Is it that? Broads, let's go.
Yeah, love Broads. I get it, but he needs to stick to puck. And like yesterday, he tweeted this: "Is this the $300 million? Are we finally seeing the $300 million Trey Turner?" He was batting 350 before the All-Star break last year and was the starting shortstop in the All-Star game. He was the best hitter in baseball post August 4th, 2023. Like, we've seen flashes, okay? To act like he's just been garbage his entire time here, I think is so ridiculous. Has he been disappointing defensively? Yes. There's also been some moments where it's like, there he is. Now, my hope here is, because I'm almost like hesitant to go too over the top with how well Trey Turner's playing.
Well, you just told everyone to apologize, so doesn't seem like
I know. I know. So, but in reality, I am extremely hesitant because we've seen the hot and cold stretches. Mm. But the hope is that this is just I don't need him to be. No, obviously, I would take him hitting 330, but it's just a up the floor a little bit. Like, just up the – I don't need the 450 for 2 weeks and then 200, 150 for
300
for 3 weeks.
All season long. If you – honestly, if he goes, if he hits 300 every – like, just consistently the rest of the season without any hot or cold streaks, I would be ecstatic. That's all we need, and that's a lot. You know what I mean, though? But just hit consistently.
Yeah. Mix – don't and don't expand the strike zone. Do not, start the bad chase stuff. Get in the strike zone. Don't strike out a ton. Don't try to just hit home runs to left field. Use the entire field. Steal some bags. Like, this was the Turner that I think we expected them when they were signing him. Now, we'll take the infield hits when the ball's exiting the ballpark. The infield hits are great. Get you on first base. Bang. That usually takes you to being on second base because he's going to steal a bag. But, man, he's a super, 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 super fun watch right now. Like, a super fun watch. And even... he went, 0 for 4 on Saturday night, Sunday morning? But it didn't feel awful. Like, it didn't feel, there's the bad Trey with the ugly strikeouts. even when he's off, he's still pretty on. Like, he's not, he's on balance. Like, that's what I thought about Bryce yesterday. Like, Bryce smoked some balls.
Totally.
And it's not, it wasn't an off. He just didn't get a hit. He just didn't get a hit. Sometimes it happens, but it wasn't that's a red flag. That's a red flag. No, like all these guys, Schwarber has never gotten fully off the path. He had a bad stretch there when he went into the four hole for the first time, or protecting Bryce's spot for the first time. But none of these guys have gotten super off track. Castellanos hasn't gotten super off track.
Dude, I still keep expecting him to swing at these pitches, and he's holding off in big spots against like Mason Miller. Miller's throwing him, you know, stuff that Nick Castellanos should swing at. My gut says that Nick swings at that. He swings at that pitch out of the zone, like, and he's laying off, and you can see him, and it's become, and Turner too in those situations too. And there'll be some at bats where Turner will like go down too quick, and I'm like, oh my God. And then he'll work his way back, and he's taking pitches, and the command of the strike zone, the ability to hold off and not, you know, give at these pitches that are out of the strike zone, way out of the strike zone in some cases. It's been, again, to the point we're making, it's not just the spraying it all over the field that people should be excited to be seeing. It's this stuff. It's the control of the strike zone. It's the not swinging at stuff that they absolutely were swinging at a year ago. You know, I've been really impressed with these guys, man. Really impressed. Boom, too.
They're just growing up before our eyes.
Yeah,
they really are. They're buying into what the coaching staff is preaching. They're all doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're playing the game the right way. They're doing a little bit of small ball. They're getting guys over and getting them in. This is baseball heaven. This is baseball heaven. I'm not going to look at the opponents. I don't care.
Are we in St. Louis? I didn't even notice. Oh my God. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, this is good stuff. This is dynamite. I can't believe they're not playing.
First mention of the opponents, 44 minutes in. So I'm going to give us credit.
Don't care.
That was really good. Yeah, exactly.
Don't care.
Excited, and they should be playing today. This is nonsense, but I am excited for this Braves series. That I think that'll be a really good
game. Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah. All right. Yeah, buddy. Take bag in a second. Shout out to the Miller Lite account of the week. Miller Lite bar of the week this week is the Union Tap House. Love the Union Tap House in Manayunk, where you can watch all Phillies games with a $4 Miller Lite special. Go to the UnionTapHouse.com. All right, Fritzy, what do we got in the bag?
Well, first off, it's pretty sickening that Acuna comes back and is right back to being Ronald Acuna. So
I know. First at bat, homer. We were watching Braves Padres. Saturday, I guess, when we're waiting for the night game. Was it Saturday? Or maybe it was yesterday, waiting for the afternoon game, and he just hit a tank shot where it was off the bat. Emily wasn't looking up, and I just go, whoa. And she said, what happened? I'm like, you got to watch a replay of this. That ball was just so gone right the moment the bat touched it. It was just one of those. It's like, man, that big swing when he gets a hold of one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good player. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that Arun Escobar is his cousin, and they have the same kind of setup. So
that's I like exciting. That, but look at you. Way to bring it back around, buddy. It's good.
Always.
And we got Kenny Acuna always. On the way, you know?
Oh, yeah.
2030
yeah.
Phillies are going to be loaded with Kenny Acuna.
Sure. So
too soon, 2032 or something? Anyway, go ahead.
So I do mean this. And it's I guess it's a little inside the brain, which is good. I think healthy for everyone involved.
Sure. Yes.
I'm glad they don't have the best record in baseball anymore. I don't want them to have the best record.
If I saw this quote written like on a website or whatever, but it was uncredited and it could be anyone in the world, I'd be like, oh, I know who said that. I know exactly who said that.
So a part of me was relieved when they lost yesterday. I don't want to win 10 in a row. I don't want to be the best record in baseball. I don't want to lose two or three of the Braves. Not saying that at all. But I just, there's scar tissue from last year where it was like, you were saying they had the best record in baseball until September or whatever. And then it didn't matter. So a part of me is relieved. Let the Tigers have the best record in baseball. I don't care. Let the Dodgers go out in front run and have the best record in baseball and get hot. Whatever. I will take the third best record in baseball. I'll take the fourth best record in baseball. I don't care. But I don't need the best record in baseball. Frankly, don't want the best record in baseball.
So I'm kind of with you. I co-sign. Honestly, I was joking about this being a very you thing, and it is, but I got nothing to say, buddy. Just what you
It's very soft of me. Yeah, it's very soft. I'm but with you, pal.
Whatever, because essentially the point you made is so true, and we were all guilty of it. I know I did it. I'm on WIP being like, best record in baseball. You gotta trust this team. When I'm like,
well, not in that voice.
No, no, you know.
You would never do it in that voice.
No, I wouldn't. I know I couldn't. I don't think I could have maintained that. But
it's more like this. It's more like this. It's more like this is how it really is.
What are you talking about? What do you mean? What do you mean? I knew you. I didn't. Yeah. Regardless, yes, I'm with you. With you. Go Tigers. How about that? Yeah. What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean, Joe? What do you mean?
What are you talking about? Nonsense.
Idiot. All right. So I have another Reese thought.
Mm-hmm. I know. You said it. Now, like, Tom Kelly and Dan Wilson are talking about it out there. You even said it. You said, I'm going to be the – I just want to put this out there. I want everyone – it came from here first, and now it's out there. It's out there.
Yeah, it's spread like wildfire. People – the just – all right. Whether you're on the fence, off the fence, don't want Reese back, want Reese back. Imagine a sold-out CBP August 3rd, I don't know, right after the trade deadline, and you hear the walk-off song for the first time, and Reese struts to the plate. Do you know, I don't often cry. I actually really only kind of well up at Phillies moments more than anything, and old Walker and Sutton videos. But, like, by the way, I was sitting in my car charging it yesterday, and the video from the video yearbook of Bedlam at the Bank came up with Schwarber narrating it. Got a little misty-eyed in the parking lot. Not going to lie. It was cars charging, sitting there by myself, had to wait like 40 minutes. Got a little misty-eyed. It was quite a moment. I said, outside looking in, I look like a loser. Inside the car, I felt like a winner.
He's mad.
But just imagine him slowly. Maybe they play his greatest hits as he's walking up. I don't know. The bat spike.
Ending with the home spike, run. Yeah.
Oh, and CBP. Everyone's crying in CBP. There's not a...
Jamie Hoskins is in the first row, and she's bought the whole section beers, you know.
With their new baby, by the way. Congratulations congratulations to them. As two dad guys, we appreciate that. And
I bet you Reese would be a great dad. He seems like a great dad kind of guy.
For sure. But there's not a dry eye in the place. And then he works a nice five-pitch walk. I mean, it's...
it is written. Yeah.
I just, man, I, the pop.
Yeah, it would be unbelievable.
The pop of bringing Reese back. And like that, Doug, imagine the clubhouse.
It'd be one of the great regular season pops in recent memory, without a doubt. Maybe the best.
I'm getting chills just thinking about it. I really am. Yeah. Like the whole, I need inside the Phillies, whatever, Phillies clubhouse. I don't know. Just Reese's first walk back into the clubhouse as they welcome him back. Imagine how happy they'd be to see Reese walk through those doors again, and how happy Reese would be. Ah, come on. But anyway, not to bring down the mood about the Reese situation, and I'm sorry to do this, but I have to bring it up.
Uh-oh.
It's not terrible Schwarber insurance either. If for some reason they don't pay Schwarber,
it's a thought.
He has another year left,
and he can be first. Look at you! You're covering all the bases there.
I'm really sorry. I didn't want to do that. You know, I didn't want to do
you
that.
And you didn't need to. You know, I think it stood on its own. Just the Reese thing. We're all good, and then you had to just go that extra step. Okay, it's true.
Schwarber's gonna be a Philly.
Thanks.
Also, I need to know. I need to see the Kepler Reese interaction when Reese demands.
Oh, I know. It's like, sorry, Max. It's like, just get it to me.
Yeah,
get out of here.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Man,
that was cool.
That was a dope home run. Although
it was really cool. Pinch hit. You love those. It's just that's good stuff.
It really, unfortunately for Max, reminded me of David Dahl's home run in London.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Who could forget?
But you were there, so you
I literally know. Can't Trust forget. Me, I know.
Dude, how funny was it watching watching Mark Gatze have to just leave the field?
Oh, but walk, I know. Walk through center field. It was so funny. It was like the all-time walk of shame. Yeah, left field, whatever. Yeah, the down the sideline and out is what I meant. It was just all-time walk of shame. So funny. So funny.
I loved it. I loved every second of it.
And I do like Mark Gatze. I'm in on him. I think he's good.
Some strange decisions this series.
He did have some weird decisions. You're right. But and I mean, Mace Miller three nights in a row. I was shocked.
Wow. But he hadn't pitched in a month, so
yeah,
I guess they figured they'd get their use of him.
Seems like a good plan. Yeah.
The number one and number two leaders on FanGraphs for Cy Young is Jesus Luzardo and Zach Wheeler.
Sick.
It's amazing. Sick. It's amazing. I can't believe we are getting... Not many things have worked out for us on this podcast.
No.
Sort of. I sort of tongue-in-cheek.
Some things here and there, yeah. But yeah.
Luzardo coming here and being unbelievable, and even yesterday, like, struggle in the first inning. Obviously,
just freaking 10 strikeouts. It's overpowering at times.
Yes. Yes. He's disgusting. Who's your game two starter?
Probably Zeus, man. Come on. Yeah, it depends on if it's at home, I guess, the Sanchez splits and all that. But I think he might be the biggest win in the history of the pod. You know, he might be. He's up there.
Yeah, well, until Aiden comes up. Yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Really big stones from Kirkring over the weekend. I mean, that was a tough spot on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and by the way, he pitched three straight days. Now, the one inning was one pitch and he got out of it. So I don't know if we count that. But that was the first time they'd gone a pitcher in three straight days since 2023. And especially this early in the season. So again, they are stuck Thompson's stuck in a tough spot because obviously he's only so many relievers he can trust. And he wants to use them, obviously. But even like we mentioned this last podcast, and he saw it with Luzardo. Like he's stretching these starters pretty deep. And it's interesting from the standpoint of like, okay, well, then do we go six man? Well, if you go six man, then you're down another guy in the bullpen, which you also can't really afford to do. I know the Alvarado situation stinks, but I am really fascinated and damn near excited to see how they're gonna navigate this thing, because it's truly which way do you want to go here? Six man to save some of the starters' health, because I think you have to do that at this point, or do you just keep throwing them out there and having them go as deep as they can and trying to get the most out of this bullpen? It's a really, really delicate balance. It just is.
Yeah, I'll agree with fascinated. Can't get to damn near excited or anywhere close. I feel you. It is going to be really interesting to see how they navigate it, what they're willing to trade when the time comes, all that type of stuff.
And then final thing, you're not going to like this.
Oh, great. Can't wait. Really, I love that lead-in.
But for what he does defensively and what he brings to this pitching staff, they need to re-sign JT.
I know.
But he, look, the offense is not great. I get it. But he, for what he does behind the plate and the value he brings from that standpoint, the last 2 years for the starters and working his way with the bullpen guys, he is invaluable from that standpoint. So bleep it, re-sign him.
If it's a good price, like, I'm not going to freak out about it. I get it. They don't have any other options right now. I'm not, whatever. Okay. It's fine. I will say I was, when he beat out that infield single, was that yesterday? He's really fast for a catcher, much less a 36-year-old catcher, a 35-year-old catcher, whatever. He motored down the line. He has aged very gracefully and well from an athleticism standpoint. You could do a lot worse the next couple of years. I'm just worried about doing the, like, we're committing to the guys and we're going to have 8,037-year-olds out there trying to win a World Series, you know? But look, I wouldn't just be totally against it, but it has to be cheap and it can't be more than 2 years. That's right.
Now, you were impressed when he beat out the ground ball. Okay. Mm-hmm. What were you saying when he grounded into his 10th double play of the year?
Yeah. Or
something similar.
Or and they ended up winning the game. But when he dropped that pop up in foul territory.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, the next pitch, boom, RBI single. It was like, of course. But
well, there's something weird because Harper missed two straight pop ups.
Yeah, there's got to be something with the lighting. And we know, you know, it was weird. It was weird also not in the, you know, not being the Coliseum, but I just have, I didn't realize I had such an instinctual when there is a foul pop hit against the A's on the road that there's going to be so much space to get it. And then that kept being like, oh, wait, where'd all the space go? You know? So it was weird. That was a little weird thing, you know?
It was. So yeah, I just, what he does defensively and listen, he's infuriating offensively. You can bat him ninth for all I care, but it just pure catching wise, he's still good. He's
I don't really look at that. That's the one position you could sell me on it.
All right. So that's all I got.
Good. I got to get a Mission Impossible anyway. So shout out. Get ready. Woo! Nice. This was fun. All right. We'll be back later this week. Big series against the Braves. Back to react to it. And again, most importantly, May 31st. That is the upcoming Saturday, 5 days away. Reading Phils. We're going to go watch Hayden play. It's going to be awesome. Coming out with us. It's going to be a great time. All right. Until then, these for themselves.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.